Today's reading is taken from Philippians chapter 3, verses beginning from 12 to 21, found on page 1180 from a church Bible. Philippians chapter 3, verses beginning from verse 12, page number 1180 from a church Bible. Not that I have already obtained all this or have already been made perfect, but I press on to take hold of that for which Christ Jesus took hold of me. Brothers, I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it. But one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and straining towards what is ahead. I press on towards the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenwards in Christ Jesus. All of us who are mature should take such a view of things. And if on some point you think differently, that too God will make clear to you. Only let us live up to what we have already attained. Join with others in following my example, brothers, and take note of those who live according to the pattern we gave you. For as I have often told you before, and now say again, even with tears, many live as enemies of the cross of Christ. Their destiny is destruction. Their God is their stomach, and their glory is in their shame. Their mind is on earthly things, but our citizenship is in heaven, and we eagerly wait a Savior from there, the Lord Jesus Christ, who by the power that enables him to bring everything under his control, will transform our lowly bodies so that they will be like his glorious body. May God add his blessings to us.
This morning, we are going to meditate on living towards maturity. An Indian was flying with Einstein next to him. You can already tell the imagination has been stretched. Einstein and the Indian were sitting next to each other. Einstein, the great scientist, he looked at the Indian guy and he told him, the flight journey, it looks like a long journey. Why don't we have a competition? Einstein was explaining, I will ask you a question, and if you cannot answer that, you will give me £5. And then you can ask me the question, and if I cannot answer the question, I, being an Einstein, I will give you £500. The Indian was thinking about that for some time and he said, oh, it looks like a good deal. I'm losing £5 if I don't answer that. He will be losing £500 if he cannot answer that. Okay, let me go for it. And he said, Einstein, why don't you start first? Einstein asked, how far is the moon from the earth? The Indian scratched his head and he said, I don't have the exact answer. Okay, let me give you £5. So he gave him £5. And then it was the Indian's turn. So the Indian asked him, what goes up the hill with the three legs and comes down with four legs? Einstein was thinking deeply. He put all his science and intelligence together to find out the answer. He could not. Then the Indian said, can't you answer it? No, I cannot. Then the Indian put his hands in his pocket. Einstein put his hands in his pocket and he gave him £500. And before Einstein started the question, he said, okay, tell me what goes up the hill with three legs and comes down with four legs? The Indian looked at him and he put his hands in his pocket and he gave him £5. The moral of the story is never get into any Q&A question with the Indian guys. Especially when the money is involved. One way or the other, they know how to get it. So we are not going to talk about this maturity in this time. Maturity is something that brings change or a transformation or a growth from one stage to another stage. Paul, in Philippians 3:14, he says, I press on toward the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. When you read this verse laterally, on a surface level, these words, press on, goal, win the prize, it looks like something it is related with an athlete or a race. Maybe we can choose this illustration as a race for our discussion this morning. So we are all up for the race now. So in every race, there are three significant stages. There will be a starting point to start the race, and there will be, of course, a finishing line to end the race, and there is an intermediate stage connecting between these two, starting and finishing. And for this race of salvation, everyone is welcome. Either rich or poor, young or old, male or female, any background, any culture, any tradition of any nationality, either Jew or a Gentile, even from any religion, either Hindus or Muslims or Sikhs or whatever the religion they follow, everyone is welcome for this salvation race. But there is one criterion to be fulfilled. To participate in this race or to become eligible to run in the race. This criterion is, if you declare with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. If anyone says this, then they are becoming eligible to run in this race. I hope every one of us here have said this already. In case, if anyone has not told yet, can we say it together now? Jesus is Lord. Yeah? 1, 2, 3. Jesus is Lord. Thank you. So when we believe that Jesus is the one who came down to this earth and he lived for us and he died for us and he resurrected for us, and in that belief, if we say that, yes Lord, you alone can save me, then when we say Jesus is Lord, we become eligible to run the race. Now I can see that every one of us here are eligible to run in this race. Coming to the first point, starting point, I press on. Not that I have already obtained all this, or have already arrived at my goal, but I press on to take hold of that for which Christ Jesus took hold of me. What a wonderful start. This should be the start for every believer, for every race they are running on this salvation towards eternity. There are two things we need to remember when we are at the beginning of the race. Very simple. I am nothing, God is everything. Very simple, isn't it? And this principle, this concept, I am nothing, God is everything, this has to travel from the starting stage through the intermediate stage and until we reach the final stage. In worldly terms, if you say that, I am nothing, what kind of maturity is that? People would ask us. people would define maturity in the secular world like having been equipped or being qualified for something or being developed with the skills and talents so that we can attain something like a highest, you know, whatever we do in our life. That's the worldly term for maturity. But in our Christian faith, the definition of maturity is completely the other way around. We need to say that we are nothing, Lord. If we carry any of our baggage at the back, I am qualified. I am well done. I have got a very big family at the back. I have a very big societal status. I am beautiful. I am good in doing that. I am good in speaking and whatever it is. If we carry that baggage at the back, then we are saying, I am everything and God is nothing. That will not work out for salvation. Paul, he says that in the earlier passage, in the same chapter 3, he said that on the 8th day, he was circumcised. We heard that last Sunday's sermon. 8th day, he was circumcised. So he is fulfilling the requirement of being born as a chosen Israel. And then he is saying that he is from the tribe of Benjamin, one of the 12 tribes. So he is already ticking the box that he is from the clan of chosen tribe. And he is saying that he is fulfilling as a Pharisee. So he is fulfilling the law. According to the law, the Pharisees should have a zeal. That zeal was seen in Paul's life. He was persecuting Christians. So he was fulfilling that law as well. So according to law, Paul is already righteous and he is already faultless one. Always whenever I think about Paul, I think that this man of God has ticked all the boxes. According to Old Testament, he has ticked every boxes. According to the New Testament, he has come under the new covenant grace of Christ and he is filling the box. So in case in future, when God comes and asks, have you been qualified for that? Then Paul would say, yes for everything. What about us? I have that question for a long time. But this man of God is solving that puzzle. He is saying that whatever I have qualified before, whether I have fulfilled all those requirements, it is not going to take me for the salvation. What it is required is, but I press on to take hold of that for which Christ Jesus has took hold of me. Jesus has reached out with his hands open and we need to reach out to hold his hands, otherwise we are not held. If we want to hold Christ Jesus, we need to reach out to the open arms of Christ. That's it. We don't need to have any qualifications that are required for the eternal salvation. This great man of God has already cleared that doubt, if at all we have any. I think it was last year when I was talking with one of the ministers of the church, he shared this with me. He has had a grandfather of about 95 years old. He died, and his granddad was a Baptist minister. Look at the age, 95. He worked, he served, and he died throughout his journey was with Christ. And I don't know how many times he was on his knees interceding for his people. I don't know how many times he was reading the scripture again and again from Genesis to Revelation. I don't know how many times he has meditated every morning, sitting down with the passage and knowing what God is telling to him. I don't know. Because when you see the experience he has got with the age and the spirituality he has gone through, do you know what that granddad has told this grandson? He went and asked his granddad on his deathbed, "Dad, what do you want to tell me at the end of your maturity of this life?" He told, "After all these years, I have served and read and felt the presence of God. I can tell you one thing. I have known nothing about Christ. There are lots of things remaining to know about Christ. Whatever I have known is just a speck. There is much more beyond that. I haven't attained anything." That great man of God, after 95 years of working with experience and maturity, he was saying that he was nothing. "I am nothing. God is everything. We are worshipping such a big, amazing God. And before him, whatever the qualifications, whatever the equipping power we have got, it will become nullified. He is everything." Second stage, we are toward the goal. We are pressing on and we have come toward the goal. This is the life we are now running on. And on this life when we are running, there may be questions arising like, am I running in the right direction or am I running in the opposite direction? We need to clarify those things. Because this world is bringing pressures and depressions from all directions. If we are extending our leg on our left side too much, be careful, we will get trapped into the worldly things. Same time, when we are extending our right leg too much, again, be careful, even people who claim themselves as Christian ministers or pastors, they are preaching, "Those who are only suffering, please come, and Christ Jesus is there to wipe away all your tears and sufferings." We should be very careful, either side, when we are stretching our legs. I think it was last Sunday evening, I don't know how many of you were hearing that program in the Premier Radio. It was an interview time, it was a testimony sharing time. And one young lad was sharing, saying that when I was 24 years old, he said, "I worked hard and God has graciously given me a house. So I bought that house when I was 24 years old." And the man who was conducting the program, he said, "Praise the Lord." And then he said, like, "When I became 27 years old, I worked hard again, I prayed, I knelt down, and God heard my prayers, and he gave me a second house." And the man who was conducting the program said, "What an amazing God we serve." And then he continued, he said, like, "Yes, I had struggles." Struggles? I don't know what struggles he meant. "I had struggles all my way, and God equipped me to buy a third house before I end up in my 30s. And the man who conducted the program, he said, "What a powerful testimony. What a good testimony you are sharing. Before you reach the age of 30, God has equipped you to buy three houses. It has to be told everywhere." I was driving, I was restless. Please don't misunderstand me that I am against richness. Please don't think that I am campaigning for poverty. I'm not saying here that you should be poor to enter into eternity. Don't misunderstand that. But we need to understand here clearly, blessing is not what buying three houses. Blessing is not what having multiple luxurious life. God's blessing is completely different. I was thinking when I heard that program, please don't try to bring down God's glory to your level or to your understanding. God is big. He is enormous. His plans are completely different. Salvation is a very big thing. Otherwise, we are not saved. He died for us. He took our sins. Nobody is cared about sin these days. What is sin? Let me read 75 to teach, to know about sin. This is the onward goal. When we are walking on this life, on our run, we need to say, we need to see whether we are walking towards Christ, whether we are transforming like Christ. That is the goal. Transformation. We saw with the young kids this morning, what kind of transformation? So many things God has taught us in the scripture. Take one by one and meditating that and being practicing in our life. Transforming. Have I taken one step towards Jesus today? So that should be our question and that should be our goal. On the other extent, there are sufferings. There are difficulties people go through, and this is the life we are living on this earth. I tell you one thing, disappointment and discouragement are the two main tools Satan always uses to drift his people away from God. We need to be very careful. One of my friends, she shared this with me. She was pressurized in all four directions. She said that she had a difficulty in marriage relationship. It is pressing her on one side. She said that she was having difficulty in raising her special child, special need child. She had health issues. She was suffering monetarily, even meeting the basic requirements. But she said one thing. I thank God, because all my four directions were pressurized, but the up was open. So I can lift my eyes up to the hill, up to the Lord, where my help can come from. So that path is always open. Whenever we are crushed, we are not destroyed. Whenever we are pressed, we are not demolished. God is there, graciously supporting us. Billy Graham, we all know that, the great evangelist, he said this, "I have been asked hundreds of times in my life why God allows tragedy and suffering. I have to confess that I really do not know the answer totally, even to my satisfaction. I have to accept by faith that God is sovereign and He is a God of love and mercy and compassion in the midst of suffering." We all ask questions, why there should be suffering in our life? Why not God stop that suffering come to us? We are not here to question God. He is a sovereign God. He knows everything. In His will He is leading us. Let me be abide in His presence. Is there any reference we can have when we are walking on this way? Is there any model available? These days people are always looking even for environmental projects or anything. Is there any model available to follow? Paul says here, "Join together in following my example, brothers and sisters, and just as you have us as a model, keep your eyes on those who live as we do." That is the beauty of our scripture. It is not leaving us with clueless. The scripture is providing full of details, instructions, clear models, examples, everything is there. And Paul is saying here, follow me, imitate me. What a good example he is saying there. And he also says that in contemporary life, when you are going to live after 2000 years, for us, the scripture was written. So he says that in your present day life, if you see someone, godly men or godly women, leading their life according to scripture, then take them as your model. Take them as your example. Watch them and follow that pattern. I always wonder, will there be any time coming towards us saying one day, follow me? follow my example. Boldly, like Paul was saying, we need to work hard. We need to attain that level. We need to say that we are nothing, God is everything. Finally, we are reaching the finishing point, winning the prize. We are not running this race with no loss. There is a reward for everyone who is participating in this race. We are not running this race with no clueless. We have a clear instructions. We have been told today what we need to, how we need to run in this race. And in this winning process, we need to think about what God is saying here. Heavenward in Christ Jesus. Have you heard about marathon race? People run marathon. There will be many instructions given to the runners. And one of the instructions will be definitely the finishing line. You need to end up there. Whatever speed you run, you need to end up there. If you are not ending up there, then you are not qualified. You can run in any speed you like. There are ups and downs in our life every day. Monday may be good. Wednesday is not good. Monday we will be praying God more than on Friday. So there are things like that. But whatever speed we are running, whatever distractions we are going through, there is a goal there. Is there any transformation happening throughout this stage? Have I been transformed like Christ? Winning the prize. Heavenward, we always come to a conclusion. Heavenward, upward, it is like after our life on this earth. Once we are dead, we are going to heavenward. That's what it is meaning here. But Paul is mentioning something completely different about heavenward. He is saying that our citizenship is in heaven. And we eagerly await a Savior from there, the Lord Jesus Christ, who by the power that enables him to bring everything under his control, will transform our lowly bodies so that they will be like his glorious body. Paul, what he mentions about heavenward is different from our conclusion. What he is saying here, it is not us going to heaven and meet Christ Jesus. It is Jesus Christ himself coming down from heaven to the earth. He is coming with the power of resurrection. When he is coming in that power, he is going to change the whole earth into heaven. He is going to transform our mortal bodies into immortal beings. When we believe that Jesus has the power of resurrection, and in that belief of resurrection, our bodies, this earthly bodies, will be transformed into glorious bodies just like Christ. What a kind of complete transformation happening at the end. That is the price. That is the price. Transforming bodily and in soul as well, fully like Christ. Winning the prize. Our citizenship is in heaven. And we always think that, yes, my permanent residence is in heaven. And whenever the time comes, I will be taken up, I will go and live in heaven. That's not what Paul is mentioning here as a citizenship. Let me ask you a question. How many of us have come from different nations? How many of us have got the citizenship in the UK? What we need to do for that? So anyone who has got the citizenship? You need to live here, yes? And did you do anything to become a citizen? Life in the UK test. You have to be naturalized to become the citizen of this UK. Yeah. Because you will be, why we need to take that test? In that test, we will be knowing about the lifestyle here and the economic situation, the politics, the monarchy, and many things around here. So if we want to become a citizen of the UK, we need to know what is happening around us, where we are living. So once we got the citizenship, what does it mean? We are going to represent the country of the UK. We need to represent that. So that's why we are receiving that citizenship. That's the same thing Paul is mentioning here. Though we are living on this earth, we need to represent like a citizen of heaven. How the citizen of heaven will walk on this earth. How the citizen of heaven will talk with people. How the citizen of heaven will behave in different situations. How we approach the issues. Always we need to have in our mind, am I representing Christ? Am I representing the citizenship I am holding now? The church is a colony of the heaven. And the church has the responsibility to bring the life and rule of heaven down on this earth. Jesus taught that in the Lord's Prayer. Lord, let your kingdom come. Let your will be done on this earth as it is in heaven. So all these things need to be happen here on this earth as it is in heaven. We need to start living like citizens of heaven. I press on toward the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. Let us behave and live the life worthy for our calling, and at the end of the race, when we meet Him, our bodies, our mind, soul and spirit, everything will be transformed. Just one thing we need to say, I am nothing. God, you are everything. Throughout this race, we need to remember that such a big God we are worshipping. Amen.